Before you stand for the reading of the word, I want to just sort of give you a little heads up. My message this morning is only a starting. I plan on finishing it tonight, the Lord willing. If you can't be here tonight, there will be copies of the lesson. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter number 1. But I do have a lot that I do want to cover. Praise the Lord. I hope this wind, Brother Dennis, don't blow my notes out everywhere. If that's so, we may have to turn off the fan. All right. Good to see everyone. Good to be in the Lord's house today. Good to know Jesus. And happy anniversary to Larry and Stacy. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. There, you just got sung to. We missed them. All right. The text I want to read for you, I want to begin in verse number 18 and read down through verse number 23, and I will be reading it again tonight. This really is two totally separate parts. They will come together, but if at all possible, try to make it back tonight. There's more than I could possibly cover this morning in a reasonable amount of time. Verse 18, chapter 1, book of Isaiah. If you're there, say amen. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. How is the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Thy silver is become dross, thy wine mixed with water, thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither do they cause of the widow come unto them. Reach your hands this way and let's agree together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your holy word. Thank you for this privilege you've given us together. Lord, shine upon us today. Lord, with your presence, open our heart and our mind. Direct us today, Father, in the way that you'd have us to go. Lord, we thank you for your holy word, Lord, and may your word this morning stir hearts and minds as we recognize the high privilege we have as knowing Jesus Christ and the free pardon of our sin. Lord, today I just praise you for each individual that's come out to your house. Just minister in a way that only you can, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. I'm not going to have you turn to every scripture that I read or that I quote, but if you can, keep up the best as possible. I do have a lot of Bible verses. I will say even much more than I normally do, and have me understand I usually read a lot of scripture. Well, this morning I have an extra lot of scripture, and if you can, just go along with me for a few minutes. How many want to hear from God today? How many know that the Lord speaks to us through His holy, infallible, precious word? And I'm thankful today for the word of God. Do hold your place in Isaiah chapter 1. That is our core. That's what we will be centering around. I'm going to read from Acts chapter number 17. And my message this morning, I want to give it a title, Come and Reason. Come and Reason. I believe come is an invitation. It's a calling. It's God opening up His arms and embracing us with the call. Revelation says the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we see the call, come, that invitation throughout the Scripture, very, very consistent throughout the Scripture. I want to say that come is a call to surrender, to yield, and to make available. When God says come, He's saying, put yourselves in a position that I can speak to you, that I can work with you. How many are with me? Say amen. Reason is a judging to determine what is right. Now, I believe God wants His children to understand. And friends, when you come into the house of God and when someone teaches or preaches the Word of God, God's not asking you to check your intelligence out and not use your mind and reasoning. How many are with me today? May I say that the Word of God is intelligent. It's reasoning. It makes sense. And I don't know if you are on the wavelength that I am this morning, but when I read in the law of how awful sin was and the price that's paid and the fact that God brought in the law to condition our minds and hearts so we would understand what Jesus done for us when He died on the cross, to me, it makes sense. Are y'all with me? Say amen. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law entered in that every mouth would be shut and every one would be guilty before God and we would fall on our knees. What I'm saying today is God makes sense. And the more we look into the Word of God, and I've been a Christian now for 32 years, and the more I look into the Word of God and the more I study it, the more I am in awe of our great author that orchestrated all of this and brought all this about. Even friends, when I'm driving down the road, and y'all have heard me mention it many times, and I look at nature, I'm in awe that there's a wonderful Creator. And friends, it makes sense. Amen. God wants us to reason, and He wants you to reason with Him. I want you to notice Acts 17, verse 2, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days he did what? He reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs, He had to suffer and be risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, somebody say this Jesus, whom I preach unto you is Christ. I don't want another Jesus. I want this Jesus. I want the Jesus that died on the cross for my sin. I want that Jesus to be greater and greater and more a part of my life. And this Jesus we all need. Don't need another Jesus. I don't need another gospel. Friends, I don't need just a feel-good sermon. How many are with me this morning? But I need the presence and touch of God every day of my life. Not just when I go to the church house, but when I wake up in the morning and I put my feet on the floor, I need the touch and presence of God. And as I go about life's way, I need the touch and the presence of God. But this Jesus is Christ. Verse 4, and some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and listen to this, and of the chief women, this interesting phrase in the King James, not a few. That means there was many, several, a lot. In other words, Paul went into this place and for three consecutive weeks on the Sabbath day went in and reasoned with them out of the Scripture and he taught and preached Jesus and their minds understood it. And this morning, if I could just teach and preach Jesus to you and we can grasp that, the right Jesus, you hear me now, not the wrong Jesus, not the Jesus that oftentimes is confused in the world. And even in our country, if you mention the name of Jesus, there's a wall that goes up in many places. You can talk about Muhammad or some other religion or some other God and it's all right. But if you mention Jesus or Christianity, it's taboo. But this Jesus that I'm telling you about is altogether lovely. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the Savior of the soul. He's the Redeemer of men. And He's our friend and He's a very present help in time of trouble. He's the solution to every problem. He's the healing balm that come out of Gilead. Oh, hallelujah. And with His stripes, we are healed. He's my author. He's my finisher. He's my Lord. He's my King. He's not my soon coming King. He's my now King. Are y'all with me today? He's the King today and the King forevermore. Oh, somebody praise Him in this place. Hallelujah. But if I were to reason with you today and tell you intellectually that Jesus Christ makes sense. It's the right way. The Bible bears it out. And God is saying, come unto me. And let's reason together. Now, other verses in Acts 18 and 4. And He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. I love Acts 24 and 25. And He reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled. Couldn't resist the wisdom and the understanding. It made sense to Felix, the sinner man, and answered, go thy way for a time when a convenient season I will call for thee. He was under conviction. Because he couldn't get past the reasoning of this and how it made sense. Someone say amen. Jesus makes sense today. Glory to God. This is not a stab in the dark, friends. I'm on bedrock, firm foundation. I believe this morning, like Paul said, I know in whom I believe. And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed against Him, against that day. I'm convinced today that Jesus Christ is the right way. And if you've got another way today, you don't need to waste your time and tell me, because I've been on this road for 32 years and I'm not changing. I'm not doing a U-turn. I'm going by the way of the cross and I'm on my way to heaven, and I know that path will get me there. Woo! Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Back to Isaiah. He said, I want you to reason. I want you to come. I want you to surrender. And I know you tell these words to people today, and someone says, oh, I would get saved, but I would have to give up this, this, and this. I want to tell you, friend, you do not understand what you're gaining. You don't understand the exchange. Just like that song I sing, Two Coats. We laid off the old and we put on the new. Get a glimpse of the new coat today. Hallelujah. Grab a hold of the treasure in the field. Because when you do, for the joy thereof, you'll sell everything. Because you've got to understand what we gain in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Now back to Isaiah. We read here in chapter number 1. I want you to notice verse 18, the verse we read to start with. I am glad today that the Lord offers forgiveness. How many are thankful for forgiveness? And friends, I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I want you to know that the power of the cross of Jesus Christ and the blood that He shed there can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't care if you was the drunk or the skunk. Amen. Friends, I want you to know He can cleanse you and He can take you and receive you into His family. And I want you to know man is disjointed without God. I don't know, down here in this world, I don't feel at home. Amen. It just seems like there's always a turmoil or always a problem or always a headache. There's always a heartache. There's always an issue. Someone say amen. It's because we're not at home. We don't fit in. And I was telling someone the other day how that I just feel like I'm a stranger. Everywhere I go, I feel like I'm a stranger. I don't fit in anywhere. But friends, I want you to know, when I'm in the loving arms of my Savior, when I'm in the presence of God, everything is all right. Glory to God. He has a way of fixing all of my ills and all of my woes. I want you to know He is the healer of my body. But even if our body is broken, our soul can soar in the heavenlies with Jesus Christ, and we can know Him and walk with Him. Glory to God. I want to read verse 18 in another version. When He says, come, the word to Isaiah over in chapter 6 was, who will go for us? Isaiah said there, Lord, send me. I believe part of the come is for us to yield, surrender, and make ourselves available. God is not interested in your abilities as much as He is interested in your availability. It really isn't about me and you anyways. It's not about our talents or what we own or possess, but it's about who we allow to work through us so that God gets all the glory anyways. If we could do it with human strength, God wouldn't get the praise. I was reading a quote last night that said, would God ask you to do something you couldn't do? And I was thinking, well, no, He wouldn't. But then the writer come back and says, yes, He would. He does all the time. That way, when it gets done, you know He done it. Does it make sense? Say amen. So God will ask you to do, and whatever He asks you to do it, He will see you through it. Amen. But God may ask you to do something you can't do yourself. Therefore, you must depend on Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I got a spring in my step this morning. I'm feeling good. Let me read this in another version, verse 18. Come on now, let's discuss this, says the Lord. Though your sins are bright red, they shall be as white as snow. And though they are dark red, they shall be as white as wool. I don't care if they're bright red. I don't care if they're dark red. Come on now. I don't care if they're greenish red or bluish red. Someone say praise the Lord. I want you to know God is the only one I know anyways can take a black cow to eat green grass to give white milk that you make yellow butter out of it anyways. God knows his colors and he can do the color, but he can take red blood and take a filthy black sinner and make him as white as snow because there's power in the blood of Jesus. But though your sins are deep and dark and awful, and I know today we categorize in our own minds sin. And we think a person as a bad sinner. But by the same token, the devil will want us to convince, well, someone's a not so bad sinner. How many understand sin is sin and all will separate us from God? We need to look at how detestable sin is to God, and we need our Savior. I want you to go forward to chapter 44. We're here in Isaiah. I'm taking my time today because I've already resigned to the fact that I cannot get done. And I do have a lot of ammunition today. I remember as a young preacher, they always told me, when you get in the pulpit, make sure you have plenty of ammunition. If you get up there and you ain't read all your verses, you're all right. He says, but if you run out of bullets, you can't fight. Amen. I won't run out of ammunition this morning, Brother Henry. I'm telling you, we've got the ammunition today. We want the Lord's help. But chapter 44... And notice this, and I am thankful, and I've got to dwell on this just for a minute, because I believe this morning, and I felt the Lord impress me, that there are those present that you don't have that full confidence that your sins are forgiven. And you don't know that you know that you know that Jesus has wiped them away. And this word is for someone this morning. I believe that with all my heart, because forgiveness is real, and it's for you today. And you may think, well, mine was awful red, awful red. Can red be covered up by white? And sometimes you have a stain on the wall. And I recall when we repainted the downstairs, Brother Russell repainted the downstairs Sunday school room, took a little effort to cover some of that up. Can you give me an amen? Amen. And sometimes sin stains in our life that we're aware of, we think is bleeding through. But I want to tell you, when the blood of Jesus covers it up, it's not going to bleed through. It's going to be covered up. And I feel this morning to lay this layer of confidence in your lap that you are forgiven. If you're trusting Jesus today, do not let the enemy lie to you and tell you that your sins are not gone. They are gone. Verse 21, Isaiah chapter 44. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee, thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. How many are thankful God's not going to forget you? I believe that Israel and Jacob are precursors for the church here. Many times in the Old Testament, when we read of Zion, you can almost invariably interchange the church there. We've got the same God. Amen. Now, verse 22, this is what he said. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. And then he's saying, return unto me. For I have redeemed thee. If your sins have been blotted out and they're in that thick cloud. Friends, I want you to know on the way to work the other day, the fog was so bad I couldn't hardly see you. I don't know how far in front of me. You have to drive real slow these days. Well, I want you to know if he's covered my sin with a thick cloud, it's obscured from view. I'm glad. Amen. You don't have to turn. Psalm 51:7, David in his prayer of repentance is saying, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Micah 7:19, he will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue. I love that. He will conquer. He will subdue our iniquities and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. That's a metaphor saying it's in a location totally concealed and gone from view. Can you say amen? Ephesians 1 and 7. Sister Charlotte, this is in that chapter. I know you love so much. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Somebody shout, according to the riches of His grace. The last time I checked, Heaven's Bank wasn't in foreclosure. And God don't have a recession, friends. Do you hear me now? There's no problem on Wall Street in heaven. God has power sufficient and the bank in heaven has plenty for our needs. Somebody say amen. Revelation 7 and 13, you don't have to turn, but listen, I'll give you my notes later if you want it. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these that are arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from? And I said, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. How many know that tribulation is trouble? God's going to pull you out of trouble. And in the process, he's going to do a work in you. Hebrews chapter 8 and chapter 10, both places he said this phrase, their sins and their iniquities, he said, I will remember no more. And I've shared with the church, I had a good friend of mine, and loves the Lord. Don't get me wrong, he loves the Lord. He made the statement that his pastor the other day had mentioned that God reminded him of his sin to keep him humble. That's a lie. I want to tell you right now, God will not remind you of your sin. That's totally inconsistent with Scripture, Old Testament and New. He says, your sins and your iniquities, God says, I will remember no more. Friends, an all-knowing God gets amnesia when it comes to His children that are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel that. Isaiah 55. I want you to turn here. Glory to God. I'm getting wound up here. Give me a few minutes. I'm liable to preach here after a while. Hallelujah. I tell you what I do. I get to thinking and studying about Jesus. And every point about Him is good. And I just want to tell somebody. And if you don't get excited about this, well, bless your religious heart. But I'm getting excited about this. Glory to God. Deliver somebody from a lake of fire. And I get to walk with and talk with the King of the universe. I have a personal relationship with Him. I don't get it because I'm a bishop in the church of God. I don't get it because my name's on the local roll. I get it because I know Jesus and the free pardon of my sin. And I've been to Calvary. That's why I've got a personal relationship with Him. And if you don't get excited, well, you just calm your little calm soul down then. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Are y'all ready for this? Are y'all ready for this? I don't know if you are or not. There are no seat belts equipped on the pews. You can stand and worship, run and shout. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. Here's the invitation. Are you thirsty today? Come to the waters. And he that hath no money. I'm so glad he said that because otherwise the poor portion would be left out. Come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Then he asked the question, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which satisfies? Now, can I tell America that today? America, you spend so much energy chasing something that when you find it, there's no satisfaction in it. How many will say, Brother Ted, I've been guilty of that. I've looked after the wrong things. I've chased after the wrong things. I've lusted and desired the wrong things. And when I got them, I'm going to say it this way. It just wasn't no big deal anyways. Now, let's go here. Are y'all ready? Hearken unto me. I've got this underlined. Hearken unto me. Hearken diligently unto me. And eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And friends, when we talk about David here, we're talking about that which is provided through his house. Jesus, according to the angel, as he made proclamation to the shepherds in the field, a Savior is born in the house of David. How many are glad that that throne is still active today? Jesus is on the throne of his father David, and the promise God made to David, there would always be that seed. That was Abraham's seed. That was the woman's seed. That's a long story. Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman bruised the head of the devil. I'm so glad. A lot of scripture. Jump down to verse 6. When he says here, it's free to everyone. It's open and available to everyone. But I want to say there's still a requirement. You say, Brother Ted, salvation isn't 100% free. Yes, it's 100% free. But we have to accept and receive. Are y'all with me? He used the term here, hearken, incline, and hear. And I know that we think we listen to somebody. You can hear a preacher preach. And maybe this afternoon, if I run into you somewhere out and about and ask you what I preached this morning, you say, what was that? How many have ever done that? We say we hear. Words enter into our ears, but friends, what he's saying here is that we obey. How many catch that from these words and this terminology? To hearken, to incline, means you engage yourself. To hear means you absorb into your spirit, that it results in your character and the outcropping of your obedience. Praise the Lord. Verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. I'm getting ready to shout. Glory to God. Call ye upon him while he is near. How many here believe God is near? The fact that we have the privilege this morning of assembling together in a house of God and feeling the presence of the Lord. And I have felt the Lord since about 8:30 this morning, when I came over here. He's near. He's near. Friends, he's not a God that's afar off. He's not an untouchable Savior. But he knows what you're going through and he has compassion on you. And he said, my ear is open to your cry and I'm closer than you think. That's what God is saying. Call upon him while he is near. Notice this, but he said in verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord and he will have mercy upon him and to our God. Read this with me, for he will abundantly pardon. Let's go back to where we started. Chapter number 1. God told Jeremiah, go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, O backsliding Israel, come back home. I want you to come home. And God said, I want you to do one thing. It's in Jeremiah 3:13 if you want to read it. Only acknowledge your transgression. Only acknowledge that you've messed up. And friends, this morning, God loves an imperfect people. How many thank God that a perfect God loves an imperfect people? And God is saying to you, I want you to do one thing. I want you to be honest with me. I want you to be open with me. I want you to take off the mask. We've got this church mask we put on. We have problems and issues in our lives, but when we go to church, we've got this church mask we put on. Don't want nobody to know I'm hurting. Friends, I want you to know God is saying, take your mask off. When you enter the presence of God, you might as well. How many knows that he already knows? I knows that he knows. That's right, I do. He says, only acknowledge your transgression. Hosea 14:1, O Israel, return unto the Lord. Hold your place in Isaiah. Return unto the Lord thy God. For thou hast fallen by thy iniquity. Verse 4 of that chapter. I will heal their backsliding. Oh my goodness. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. I'm so glad today that God is saying, I'll love you freely. And I know there are individuals in this life that we will love conditionally. You love me, I'll love you. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. But God is saying, I've got an open invitation for you. I'll love you freely. And my love will be the best love. Now I want you to notice back here in Isaiah chapter number 1. Hallelujah. Friends, I'll tell you what, I feel the touch and presence of God in this place. And the Lord is here for somebody. I'm going to close here just in a moment. Encourage you, come back for tonight. I've got some thoughts I really feel like the church needs and you individually need. And if you're not here tonight, after we record it, we can make available a copy of the audio CD for you. He said in verse 18, come and let us reason together. I'm going to recolor your sins. I'm going to turn them from white, red to white. Thank God for recoloring. Verse 19, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. He says, if you be what? Willing. And obedient. Verse 20 says, but if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. And God is saying, my mouth spoke it. This morning, I want to call you to be willing and obedient. My lesson is titled, Come and Reason. I believe if we reason with the Lord, and we look at what he has done, and we open our mind and our heart to his ways, I want you to know, I only see one response for that. I don't see how someone could hear of the love and grace of God and to know God's real and not respond in obedient faith. That's me this morning. That's how I think. That's how I think. I'll tell you right now, my decision's already made. I have determined, like Joshua 24, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I've already made my determination. This morning, if you're not ready to meet the Lord and you're not ready for heaven and your sins are as scarlet or they're red like crimson, whatever color they are, he can take them and turn them white as snow. Hallelujah. Sister Vicki, will you come to the piano this morning and prepare a song for us? And as she's coming, I'm going to ask the rest of the church, let's just stand to our feet and take a moment, lift your hands and praise Him for His goodness. Praise Him for His love and for His mercy. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning. We honor You this morning. I praise You for Your touch, Your power, Your presence. I thank You for Your holy word. And Lord, the more I reason with Your word, the more I see how good You are. Lord, open our mind today. Give us understanding. Our hearts are soaring right now in Your goodness. Thank You for amazing grace. Thank You for being our substitute upon the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For Jesus, I deserve to be there. Lord, that should have been me. It should have been me, but You took my place. And not just me, but You took all of our places. And Lord, You looked through the corridors of time. And yes, while You was on the cross, we were on Your mind. I thank You, Lord, for Your touch and presence. Thank You, Lord, for all that You've done. Minister to each one this morning. With every head bowed right now and every eye closed. Every child of God praying. This morning I want to give you that invitation to come and reason with God. Bring your sins, bring your faults, bring your failures, bring your issues, bring your heartaches, bring your headaches. Because when you bring them to the cross of Calvary and you lay them at His feet, I'll tell you right now, there is blood sufficient to cover all of your sin. He loves you today, and guess what? He understands you today. And He's bringing you out. But with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. This morning, if there would be one present that would acknowledge with an upraised hand, Brother Ted, I am not where I need to be with the Lord. Will you pray with me? If there would be just one hand, if there would be just one hand this morning, the Lord knows us. He loves us. And I believe the Lord is calling us all to a closer walk with Him. But regardless of your station in life, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're known or unknown, this morning He loves you. But this morning with an upraised hand and my hands going up, how many need a touch of God? How many want to acknowledge before the Lord? Lord, I raise my hand in acknowledging that I need You. I'm desperate for You. Have Your way in my life. This morning, I want us to come and kneel at this altar. You can kneel at your seat if you so choose, but I would love to see this altar full this morning, hungry for God. Let's find a place and pray, friends, and call upon Jesus today. Everyone, let's call upon the Lord.